What's going on, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of Swag Talk, the show where we cover the swag inside and out. I'm your host, Charles Wells, coming at you, and we are about to recap this week two action. 2 weeks already in the books. Swag football is on and popping, and it's moving rapidly already, so we're not going to waste too much time. As you know, the socials are down in the description. They're also below on the screen, so you can check those out, like them, follow them, and all of that. Check out the podcast, anchor.fm/swagtalk, Spotify, Stitcher, Breaker, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so already. Hit that notification bell so you can be alerted to any content that I upload, and like and share the videos, and feel free to comment. Give me your thoughts on week two, and we'll chop it up in the comments. So let's go ahead and get this kicked off, man. I ain't gonna waste as much time as I can. So I'm trying to get in and get out and get some rest because it's been a long Saturday. So let's go ahead and get this going. We're going to start off with Alabama State. They took a trip to the Plains to take on Auburn and took a 62-0 loss. I was able to watch a little bit of this game. I thought Alabama State defensively, I thought they played fairly well in the first half. First quarter, they were able to hold Auburn to two field goals, but the mistakes started to pile up offensively. They really couldn't move the ball too much. They had finally got a drive going on offense and actually got in field goal range. Field goal got blocked, returned for a touchdown. And in the second half, the floodgates were on. The halftime score was 20-0. And then Auburn outscored them 42-0 in the second half. So really, the wheels came off after halftime, and Auburn just hit big play after big play, and just couldn't, you know, they just couldn't really respond. They also had, a pick six as well. So not only did special teams give up a touchdown, but the offense allowed a touchdown. And, you know, those kind of things in a game like this are always going to hurt you. Looking at the stats a little bit, Auburn 21 first downs, Alabama State 11, 46 yards rushing for Alabama State, 1.6 yards per carry. Auburn, 364 yards on the game, 9.3 yards per carry. Alabama State, 130 yards passing, 19 of 29, no touchdowns, one interception. Auburn, 174 yards passing, 11 of 19 on the night, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Total offense, 179 yards for the Hornets, 3.0 yards per play. They fumbled 3 times and lost 1. So they had 2 turnovers on the night. 8 penalties for 57 yards. Auburn, 538 yards of offense, 9.3 yards per play. Both teams ran 58 plays. Auburn also fumbled 3 times and lost 1. 10 penalties for Auburn for 67 yards. Third downs, Alabama State 4 of 15. They didn't attempt a fourth down. 6 of 11 for Auburn on third down, 1-for-1 on fourth down. 0-for-1 in the red zone for Alabama State, 4-for-4 for Auburn. 1 sack for Alabama State, 2 for Auburn. Individually, Ryan Nettles, 19-27 for Alabama State, 130 yards and an interception, was sacked twice, longest pass, 22 yards. Bo Nix, 9 of 17, 108 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was sacked once, long 28. TJ Finley, ex-LSU quarterback, 2-for-2 for 66 yards, 1 touchdown, longer 49. Ja'Cory Merritt, 10 carries for 17 yards to lead Alabama State. Jared Daniels, also 5 carries for 17 yards for Alabama State. No Ezra Gray in this game. I never really heard what was going on with him, but he didn't play in this game. Jarquez Hunter led Auburn with 8 carries for 147 yards. Tank Bigsby, 11 carries, 122 yards. Jeremiah Hickson, leading receiver for Alabama State, 4 catches, 46 yards. Wallace Corker, 3 catches, 18 yards. Keyron Jones, 3 catches, 16 yards. Demetrius Robertson led Auburn with 3 catches for 61 yards and 2 touchdowns. Malcolm Johnson, 1 catch for 49 yards. Kenan Isaac led Alabama State with 7 total tackles. Ershad Davis, 5. Jeffrey Scott, 5. Darius Whitehurst with 4. Tackles for loss. Rhodey, John Lewis, one tackle for loss. Stephon Young roll, one tackle for loss. Joshua Long, one tackle for loss. Brandon Gaddy, a half a tackle for loss. And Janiel Brown, a half a tackle for loss. Sack was by Long, no interceptions. Defensively, Auburn was paced in tackles by Kobe McLean with 10, Roger McCreary, 7, Owen Pappy, 6, Crunt Chandler Wooten, and Romello Height each had 4. Tackles for loss, McLean, McCreary, Pappy, Wooten, Height, Leota, Burks, Moultrie, Hall, Willis, and Riley each had 1 tackle for loss apiece. Sacks, Leota, and Moultrie. Interception was by McCreary. So, I mean, not a lot to take away from this game. I mean, obviously, you're taking a huge step up in competition with a Power 5 opponent. So, not only a Power 5 opponent, but an SEC opponent. So, not a lot to really take away from this game. But, you know, you got to check. It don't seem like there were any major injuries in this game. A few nicks and bruises, but you'll be back and ready because conference play will be around the corner. So, not a lot to take from this game. So we're not going to dwell on that. We're going to move on to our next game, which was also an FBS game. Grambling taking on Southern Miss. This score was 37-0. It was 10-0 at half. Grambling played fairly well in the first half, just could not get anything going offensively. Southern Miss in the second half was able to start to score and mainly hitting the big play to give them an opportunity to get themselves a win that they desperately needed. So not a lot to really take away from this game. Grambling 9 first downs on the night, 22 for Southern Miss. Grambling 51 yards rushing, 1.9 yards per carry. Southern Miss 290 yards, 5.9 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns. Grambling 90 yards passing. Again, not a good night passing. So I expect this team to be a lot better as the season goes on, but right now, nothing's really clicking offensively. So, like I said, 90 yards passing, 16-32, no touchdowns, 1 interception. On average, 2.8 yards per attempt, so nothing down the field really. 5.6 yards per completion. Southern Miss, 149 yards passing, 14-24. 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Total offense, Grambling 141 yards, 2.4 yards per play, no fumbles, 6 penalties for 44 yards. Southern Miss 439 yards, 73 plays, 6 yards per play. They did fumble once and lost it. 7 penalties for 55 yards. Grambling 4-17 on third down. Southern Miss 9-17 on third down. Nobody attempted a fourth down, so that was kind of rare in a game. 4-0 for Grambling, didn't enter the red zone at all. Southern Miss 4-4 in the red zone. 3 sacks for Grambling, so that's a positive note. 2 sacks for Southern Miss on the night. Individually, Grambling was led by Alden Clark, 8 of 19 for 60 yards, 1 interception. He was sacked twice. Elijah Walker, 8 of 13 for 30 yards. Clark, 60 yards passing. Trey Lowe led Southern Miss with 10 of 13 for 99 yards, 1 touchdown. He was sacked twice. Ty Keys, 4 of 11, 50 yards, 1 touchdown. He was sacked once. Darquez Brutton led Grambling with 8 carries for 35 yards. C.J. Russell, 9 carries, 17 yards. Frank Gore, 21 carries for Southern Miss for 162 yards, 1 touchdown. Dejon Richard, 10 carries, 76 yards and a touchdown. Donald Johnson led Grambling with 3 catches for 26 yards. Kobe Ross, 3 catches for 20 yards. Southern Miss was led by Jakaris Caston, 4 catches for 50 yards and a touchdown. DeMarcus Jones, 2 catches for 40 yards. Defensively, Grambling was led by Blake Thomas with 8 tackles. Also, Lewis Matthews, 8 tackles. Tackle for loss, Thomas, 2 tackles for loss. Matthews, 1.5. Martin, 1. And Green, 1. It's good to see Martin back after that injury that he had in 2019. He had a really bad injury. Sacks, 2 sacks on the night. Thomas and Matthews. And that's it for Grambling right now. Southern Miss, they were led in tackles by Malik Shorts with 6, Josh Carr, 4, Michael Please, 3, Santrell Latham with 3. Tackle for loss, they were led by Josh Carr with 1.5. He also had 1.5 sacks. And the interception on the night was by Lakevious Daniel. So again, not a lot to take from this game. But again, you get in, you get out, you get whatever check you get and get in, get out, and get ready for the rest of your season. But for Grambling, they have another FBS game coming on Saturday. So again, another opportunity to get paid and another opportunity to take a step up in competition. But you know, I'm not a big fan of the 2 FBS games, and I've talked about that before, so I'm not going to dwell on that now. We're going to go to our next game, which was Texas Southern at Baylor, 66-7. The Baylor Bears take this one. They scored 42 points in the first half, had a 42-0 halftime lead, scored 24 second-half points before Texas Southern was able to score their only touchdown on the night. Texas Southern, 161 yards rushing on the night, 4 yards per carry, 1 touchdown. Baylor, 419 yards rushing on the night, 9.7 yards per carry, 120 yards passing for Texas Southern, 12 of 22, no touchdowns, no interceptions, 295 yards for Baylor passing, 19 of 26, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. 281 yards of offense for Texas Southern, 4.5 yards per play. They fumbled twice and lost one. They had 4 penalties on the night for 33 yards. Baylor, 714 yards of offense, 10.3 yards per play. They fumbled once, didn't lose it. They had 3 penalties for 32 yards, so a very lightly penalized game this one was. Third downs, Texas Southern, 3 of 12. 0 for 3 on fourth downs. Baylor, 5 of 9, 3 for 3 on third downs. 1 for 2 in the red zone for Texas Southern, 7 of 8 for Baylor. Texas Southern had 1 sack. Baylor had 2. Texas Southern was led on the night by Jaylen Brown. He was 7 of 12 for 96 yards. Andrew Bodie, 5 of 10, 24 yards. Jerry Bohannon led Baylor 17 of 23, 247 yards, 3 touchdowns. Ja'Cory Howard leading rusher for Texas Southern, 11 carries for 69 yards. Bodie, 7 carries, 67 yards. Jeff Proctor, 11 carries, 34 yards. Baylor was led by Abram Smith, 12 carries, 126 yards, 2 touchdowns. Tristan Ebner, 10 carries, 125 yards. Tay McWilliams, 6 carries, 102 yards, and a touchdown. Receiving, Texas Southern was led by Keelan Davis, 2 catches for 45 yards. Jaron Johnson, 2 catches for 37 yards. Jonathan Giles, 4 catches, 14 yards. Tyquan Thornton led Baylor with 5 catches for 103 yards and 2 touchdowns. Ebner, 4 catches, 70 yards, and a touchdown. Texas Southern was led by Julian Markintel with 6 tackles, Isaiah Hamilton, and Tariq Cooper with 5 tackles for loss. Cooper, Gibbs, Hamilton, and Smith each had 1 tackle for loss apiece. Sack was by Hamilton on the night. Baylor was led defensively by Terrell Bernard with 7 tackles, Jalen Petrie and Devin Neal with 6 each. Tackles for loss, Petrie, 2 tackles for loss, and Logan also had 2 to pace the Bears. The sacks were by Logan and Matt Jones. So, again, like I keep saying, you know, this is the third time I say this, and I'm going to say it one more time. It's just money games, man. I mean, obviously you want a better effort, but, you know, you get what you get, and you get in and get out. Our last FBS game of the night was UCF and Bethune-Cookman. This game was a close first half game, first quarter game, 14-7 at the end of one, 35-7 at the half. UCF is just an offensive machine, man. It's hard to really slow them down. If you're going to play against them, you're going to have to match what they do offensively. And Bethune-Cookman was game for a while, but just couldn't keep pace. 24 yards rushing on the night for the Wildcats, 1.7 yards per carry. Southern UCF, 290 yards on the night, 6.9 yards per carry. Passing Bethune-Cookman, 255, 29 of 51, two touchdowns, one interception. UCF, 381 yards, 28 of 44, three touchdowns, no interceptions. Total offense, 279 for the Wildcats, 4.3 yards per play, no fumbles, six penalties, 40 yards. 671 yards for UCF, 7.6 yards per play, three no fumbles at all, three penalties for 41 yards. Again, only nine penalties combined in that game. Bethune-Cookman was 7 of 15 on third down, so a good third down conversion rate. 6 of 11 for UCF, 1 for 1 on fourth downs for Bethune-Cookman, 4 of 4 for UCF. 1 for 1 in the red zone for Bethune-Cookman, 6 of 7 for the Knights. Bethune-Cookman had the only sack of the night, so Bethune-Cookman offensive line did a good job of protecting the quarterback. Shannon Patrick, 27 of 48, 238 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. Dylan Gabriel, 236, 312, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Quayshawn Byrd, six carries for 22 yards for Bethune-Cookman. Trillion Coles, 11 carries, 78 yards for UCF. Isaiah Bowser, 12 carries, 59 yards. Davino Ellington led Bethune-Cookman with five catches for 78 yards and a touchdown. Darrell Powell, six catches, 51 yards and a touchdown. Ryan O'Keefe led UCF with eight catches for 110 yards. Brandon Johnson, seven catches, 81 yards and a touchdown. Bethune-Cookman was led by Takeven Thomas with eight tackles. Ontario Johnson and Henry Miller each had seven. Tackle for loss, Gray Bowman and Pearson each had one. And the sack was by Tony Bowman. UCF was led defensively by Quadric Bullard with seven tackles. David Wilson with six. Tackles for loss, Armstrong, Gainus and Bryant each had one. Big Cat Bryant, Auburn transfer. No sacks for UCF. So again, Bethune-Cookman came out and they played competitive in the first half. They just could not keep up with that offensive machine that UCF has. But they'll be back, and they have a big game coming up on Thursday. So they'll be back, and I know they're going to be ready, and they'll be a factor in the SWAC. Moving on. Fort Valley State headed to Tallahassee to take on the Rattlers. FAMU 34-7 victory. 7-7 game at halftime. But Florida A&M scored 27 points in the second half to put this game away. They did what they had to do to get the victory. Florida A&M, 97 yards rushing on the night, 4.2 yards per carry to hell. Fort Valley to 35 yards rushing on the night, 1.9 yards per carry. Rattlers did run for one touchdown. Fort Valley, 209 yards passing on 21 of 42, one touchdown, two interceptions. 303 for the Rattlers, 26 of 39, two touchdowns, two interceptions. Total offense, 244 for Fort Valley, 3.9 yards per play. 400 yards even for the Rattlers, 6.5 yards per play. Fort Valley fumbled three times and lost two. They were 4 of 15 on third down. Florida A&M was 4 of 12, so that's something that still needs to be cleaned up. 1 for 1 on fourth down for the Rattlers, 1 for 3 for the Wildcats, 1 for 1 in the red zone for Fort Valley. Florida A&M 3 of 4. Two sacks for Fort Valley, 3 for Florida A&M individually. Fort Valley was led by Tyrell Jackson. He was 20 of 38 for 201 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions. He was sacked three times. Florida A&M was led by Rashawn McKay, 12 of 16, 176 yards, one touchdown. He was sacked once. Junior Muratovic, 14 of 22, 127 yards, one touchdown. He was intercepted twice and sacked once. Marlon Fleming led Fort Valley with three carries for 20 yards. Bishop Bonnet led Florida A&M nine carries, 69 yards and a touchdown. Eddie Tillman, seven carries, 19 yards. Receiving, Aaron Price, six catches for 72 yards for Fort Valley. Xavier Smith led Florida A&M, five catches, 73 yards and a touchdown. Jamare Sherrod, seven catches, 55 yards. David Manigo, three catches, 49 yards. Chad Hunter, two catches, 41 yards. Defensively, Fort Valley was led by Marlon Fleming with nine tackles. Mike Hicks Jr. with six and a half. Tim Alderman, Antonio Golden, and Noah Waller each had five. Tackle for loss, Golden two. He also had a sack along with Zaquan Bolden. Interceptions were by Oldfield and Moore. Florida A&M was led defensively by Antoine Collier with five tackles. Nadarius Fagan with five. B.J. Bowler, three. Traquan Butler, three. Tackles for loss, Collier. Collier had one. Williams had three tackles for loss on the night. Sacks, Williams, two sacks and one sack for Land. Interceptions on the night were by Bowler and Allen. Each had one. So, again, this was a game that, FAMU kind of started off a little slow, but they got it going in the second half. So, you know, in a game like this, sometimes you're going to have those slow starts. These kind of teams, they're not easy to put away. And if you let them hang around, they will cause trouble. But they, I thought FAMU did a good job of recovering. The passing game was there. They both quarterbacks found some success. The running game was kind of hit or miss, but they did what they had to do. And I think if they can develop one of these quarterbacks, if McKay can get his confidence, or if Maratovic is going to continue to grow as a freshman, then FAMU will be able to compete in the conference. But right now, they're still a work in progress. Moving on to our next game, Southern defeated Miles 41-24 in a game that was pretty entertaining, to say the least. Miles definitely did not back down. They came to play. They had a game plan, and they stuck to it for the most part. They wanted to bleed that clock and just bleed it and bleed it, get the lead or stay close and just limit possessions. Second half, Southern made some adjustments, tackled better, and finished drives and were able to run the ball on Miles and basically put the game away. Miles led at halftime 17-13. Southern outscored Miles 28-7 in the fourth quarter, in the second half, to get this victory. Miles, like I said, they played a good game offensively, 200 yards rushing on the night, 4.4 yards per carry, one touchdown. Southern, 323 rushing, 8.3 yards per carry, five touchdowns. Miles, 202 yards passing, 17-24, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Southern, 138 passing, 11-15, one touchdown, no interceptions. Total offense, 402 yards for Miles, 5.8 yards per play. Southern, 461 on the night, 8.5 yards per play. Each team fumbled once and lost them. Nine penalties for Miles for 62 yards, seven for Southern for 79 yards. Third down conversions, 8 of 14 for Miles. Southern, 4 of 7. 1 for 1 on fourth down for Southern. 3 of 5 in the red zone for Miles. Southern was 4 of 5. Sacks, 1 for Miles, 2 for Southern. Miles was led individually by Claude Newell. He was 15 of 22 for 194 yards. 1 touchdown, no interceptions. He was sacked twice. Glendon McDaniel was 10 for 13 for Southern, 142 yards, one touchdown. Skelton did not see any action in this game. They held him out due to injury, so McDaniel played the whole way. Thought he handled himself fairly well. He did have a couple misreads on passes, but I thought he did a fairly solid job. Craig, Deontay Edwards led Miles with 16 carries for 67 yards and a touchdown. Kingston Davis, 13 carries, 63 yards. Craig Nelson led Southern for 8 carries, 134 yards, and 1 touchdown. Devon Ben, 13 carries, 62 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Kobe Dillon, six carries, 57 yards. Glendon McDaniel, 8 carries, 56 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Montavious Tinch led Miles with 2 catches for 39 yards. Marquise McClain led Southern with 2 catches for 49 yards and a touchdown. Ethan Howard, 2 catches, 3 catches, 40 yards. Miles was led by Kelvius Floyd with 8 tackles. James Sawyer with 7. Floyd had 2 tackles for loss. And 1 sack was by Thomas. Southern was led defensively by Tomaree Smith with 8 tackles. Davin Cotton with 7. Kenan Tate with 7. Tate and Cotton each had 2.5 tackles for loss. Williams, 1 sack. Tate and Cotton each had a half a sack on the night. So, again, you know, this was a game. First half was very tight. Southern was able to use their depth and size to wear Miles down in the second half. But Miles handled themselves well. They played well. And that's a very tough team, man. They're a very disciplined team. They don't make a lot of mistakes. They play really solid football. And they take care of business. So, moving on to our last couple games of the night, our FCS matchups. Prairie View was defeated by Incarnate Word 40-9. They actually trailed 40-0 after 3, so not a good outing for the Panthers at all. Looking at the stats, 138 yards rushing for Prairie View, 3.5 yards per carry. 104 yards rushing for Incarnate Word, 3 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns. Prairie View had 189 passing yards, 19 of 39 on the night, 1 touchdown, 4 interceptions. You're not going to beat anybody throwing 4 interceptions. That's just very hard to recover from. 217 yards for Incarnate Word, 23 of 41, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. I thought the defense of Prairie View played well. I mean, looking at the score, obviously, you're like, how are you going to say they played well when they gave up 40 points, but they didn't allow much yardage. 321 yards on the night, 4.2 yards per play. Prairie View's offense outgained Incarnate Word 327, 4.2 yards per play. No fumbles. And Incarnate Word fumbled once but didn't lose it. 9 penalties for 83 yards, 7 penalties for 84 yards for Incarnate Word. Prairie View was 6 of 19 on third down. Incarnate Word, 6 of 16 on third down. Prairie View, 2 of 3 on fourth down. 3 of 5 for Incarnate Word. 2 sacks for Prairie View, 1 for the Cardinals. So, like I said, when you look at the stats, it doesn't look like a 40-9 game, but they just could not get anything going offensively. Those 4 interceptions definitely hurt. Passed through 3 of those interceptions. Trezon Connolly threw the other one. Pass was 18 of 36 for 188 yards. His longest pass was 25 yards. Cameron Ward, 21 of 38 for the Cardinals, 208 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. His long pass was 27. So not a lot of explosive plays in this game. Christian Mosley led Prairie View with 13 carries for 50 yards. Kevin Brown, 12 carries for 51 yards for the Cardinals, 1 touchdown. Washington led Prairie View with 4 catches for 49 yards. Johnson, 2 catches, 35 yards. C.J. Hardy, 3 catches, 59 yards for Incarnate Word. Taylor Grimes, 6 catches, 40 yards and a touchdown. Defensively, Trayshawn Smith, 9 tackles for Prairie View. Bryce Turner, 7 tackles. Gerald Smith, 7 tackles. Warren Schenkel, 7 tackles. Tackle for loss, Campbell with 2. Hudson, 1.5. Powell, 1.5. Harris, 1.5. The sacks on the night were by Powell. Jason Dumas, 0.5 sack. And James, 0.5 sack. No interceptions. Incarnate Word was led by Kalichi and Annie Leb. He had 10 tackles on the night. Brandon Bowen, 7. Caleb Cope, 6. Culp had 1 tackle for loss and a sack. Interceptions were by Kalichi, Annie Lab. Man, that name killing me. But he had 2 interceptions, and Darius Sanders had 1. along with Brandon Richard with one. So this was a game I thought Prairie View had a chance of winning. I predicted Prairie View to win this game. I thought it would be a high-scoring affair, but Prairie View was unable to match the offensive output of Incarnate Word. So they have to go back to the drawing board, and they have to protect the football because defensively they play well, but you cannot turn the ball over and allow your opponent to have short fields and score points. They're just not going to do it on a game-to-game basis. Alcorn defeated Northwestern State 13-10 in a big SWAC non-conference victory over the Southland. So SWAC went 1-for-1 against 1-1 against the Southland. Alcorn actually trailed in this game 10-3, and they outscored Northwestern State 10-0 in the fourth quarter to get this victory. So it's a very solid bounce back win for Alcorn. I think you can kind of ease off that cliff. Anybody who was ready to jump after the Mid-SWAC Challenge, Alcorn still has some issues to work out, but you won a game that, some people didn't think you were going to win. So that's a big victory for Alcorn. 71 yards rushing for Northwestern State, two yards per carry. Alcorn, 122 yards rushing, 3 yards per carry, one touchdown, 192 yards passing for the Demons, 22 or 31, one touchdown, one interception. Alcorn, 204 yards passing, no touchdowns, no interceptions, 13 of 23. Total offense, 263 for the Demons, 3.9 yards per play, two fumbles, didn't lose them. Alcorn, 326 total offense, 5 yards per play, no fumbles. Four penalties for 25 yards for Alcorn, so they did a good job of not shooting themselves in the foot. Northwestern, 8 penalties for 70 yards. Third downs, 6 of 17 for Northwestern State. Alcorn, 5 of 14. Each team was 1 for 3 on third down. Alcorn, 4 sacks on the night as a defense, 2 sacks for Northwestern State. Individually, Caleb Fletcher led Northwestern State 22 of 31, 192 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. He was sacked 4 times. Felix Harper, 13 of 23, 204 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. He was sacked twice. Leading rusher for Northwestern State was Scooter Adams, 61 yards on 18 carries. Alcorn was led by Nico Duffy with 17 carries for 68 yards. Felix Harper, 9 carries, 27 yards, and 1 touchdown. Kendrick Price, 6 catches for Northwestern State for 64 yards and a touchdown. Manny Jones led Alcorn with 3 catches for 74 yards. Lee Charles Pringle, 4 catches, 43 yards. Defensively, 12 tackles on the night for Jaquay Poe for Northwestern State. Jamar Valson, 7, and Kyle Moore with 7. 1.5 tackle for loss for Poe, and he also had 1 sack. Alcorn was led defensively by Jawan Taylor with 10 tackles, Solomon Wise with 7, Terrence Edgton also with 7, Kieron Kinsler and Claudian Cherilis each had 6, along with Nichelle Heron. Tackles for loss, Wise 1.5, and also a sack. So a nice bounce back game from him from the Mid-SWAC Challenge. Taylor, one tackle for loss. Half sacks apiece go to Trevor James and Montrell Huff. Interception on the night was by Malcolm McGee. So this was a big non-conference victory for the SWAC, much needed. You take these how you get them. And it was a very, very strong outing for Alcorn's defense in a game that they needed. And offensively, they didn't play great, but they made the plays they had to make. And they're going to continue to get better as the season goes on. Speaking of getting better as the season goes on, Jackson State won the Southern Heritage Classic 38-16 in a game that was close in the first half. Second half, they blew it open. 10-7 halftime score. Outscored the Tennessee State Tigers 28-9 in the second half. So nice effort from Jackson State. I think they're continuing to grow. The passing game was spectacular tonight. Rushing game, not so much. Tennessee State ran for 70 yards, 1.7 yards per carry, one touchdown. Jackson ran for 42 yards on the night, 2 yards per carry, one touchdown. I mean, obviously the offense is clicking through the air, but that passing game is still going to have to be a threat. Right now it's not quite there. Tennessee State, 13 of 23 passing, 194 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions. Jackson State, 362 through the air, three touchdowns, 30 of 40, no interceptions on the night. Total offense, Tennessee State, 264, 4.1 yards per play, one fumble, and they lost it. Jackson State, 404 on the night, 6.6 yards per play, one fumble, they lost that one. Five penalties for 43 yards for Tennessee State, six penalties for 57 yards for Jackson State. 4 of 10 for Jackson State on third down, so that's something that still needs to be cleaned up a bit. 0 for 1 on fourth down. 5 of 14 for Tennessee State on third down. 0 for 1 on fourth down. Jackson State had 8 sacks on the night. Defense was eating. E-A-T-I-N-G, man. They feasted on Tennessee State quarterbacks. 2 sacks for Tennessee State on the night. So that defense is very, very good, man. I got to give props. They are very, very good right now. Tennessee State was led by Jeremy Hickbottom, 9 of 15, 138 yards, one touchdown. He was sacked 4 times. Devon Bryant, 4 of 8 on the night, 56 yards. He was sacked 4 times on the night. Shador, 30 of 40, 362, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. He was sacked twice, so, you know, they did a decent job of getting to him. Devon Starling, 11 carries for Tennessee State, 35 yards. Jackson State was led by Peyton Pickett, 11 carries, 55 yards. He was the only person on the team other than Shador to have multiple carries, so they didn't really use many running backs. Marshall had 1 carry, Martin, 1 carry. Not a lot of rushing attempts on the night, 21. So they definitely lived and died with the passing game. Rahman led Tennessee State with 4 catches for 94 yards. Dayton, Deron Johnson, 4 catches, 65 yards. Trevante Rucker, 5 catches, 72 yards for Jackson State. Keith Corbin, 2 catches, 69 yards and a touchdown. Pickett, 3 catches, 58 yards. Shane Hooks, 4 catches, 47 yards and a touchdown. Lanier, 5 catches, 46 yards and a touchdown. Defensively, Tennessee State was led by Marie McDonald, 7 tackles. Nick Harper, 6 tackles. Jashawn Bryant, Joshua Green, James Green, Corey Ramon, each had 5 tackles. Tackle for loss, Ramon had 1, Horton 1, sacks, Walker 1, Mike McDonald and Patterson each had a half a sack. Defensively, Jackson State was led in tackles by James Houston with 10, Aubrey Miller with 10, Keontae Hampton with 7. Those are all three of your starting linebackers, 27 total tackles between those guys. You're going to have to find a way to block them, man. Antoine Owens, 7 tackles. That's another beast on the defensive line. So that, you know, this defense, man, it's right now they're as advertised. If you don't think so, man, I don't know what you're smoking. C.J. Holmes, 5 tackles. Shiloh Sanders, 5 tackles. Niles Gaddy, 5 tackles. Tackle for loss. Houston, 5. Miller, 2.5. Owens, 2. Evans, 1. Miller, 1. Arrington, 1. Gaddy, half a tackle for loss. Sacks. James Houston, 4.5. Aubrey Miller, 2. That's your SWAC Defensive Player of the Week right there. James Houston. If he don't win SWAC Defensive Player of the Week, I don't know what you're going to say. That was a tremendous effort for him. Big night. Defensively, they just ate, man. I figured Tennessee State would have problems against this defense, and Jackson State definitely showed up, and they did what they had to do. And they're only going to get better because they're still not clicking at 100% on offense. But when your quarterback goes 30 for 40, you're going to play well. The running game will get there. I think it's going to be just a point that the running game just has to be a factor to keep defenses honest. So this is going to be a team. It's going to be tough to score against these guys, man. It's going to really be tough to score against a defense that is not allowing much yardage And right now they're only allowing they've only allowed 22 points on the season, so that's 11 points per game, and that's going to be hard to really score. But you know, the challenges are going to ramp up as the season goes on, so we'll see how this team does as the season progresses. But right now, you can't ask for much more from this team. Tennessee State still is struggling. Eddie George, I think he has a very tough road ahead of him, and we'll see how they do as the rest of the season goes on. So that's going to do it for today, man. Like I said, we had 9 games on the schedule. I'll just do a quick rundown of next week's schedule, just so we have a heads up. We will be back on Wednesday to start to preview these games on week 3. Maybe we're already on week 3. This is nutty, man. The season moves so fast, it's hard to keep up. Before you know it, we're going to be in the SWAC championship. But right now, we're at week 3, and let's take a look at the schedule, what we have coming up. On Thursday night, September 16th, 6:30 p.m. kickoff, ESPNU broadcast, Alabama A&M at Bethune-Cookman. Should be a hell of a game. That's a big road test for Alabama A&M. Bethune-Cookman is playing well on defense in spurts. They did play 2 FBS games, so this will be their first FCS matchup. And we're going to see how the Bulldogs do. They're coming off of a bye week. September 18th games, 6 o'clock kickoff, Prairie View hosts Houston Baptist. Valley goes to Stephen F. Austin, also a 6 o'clock kickoff. Florida A&M heads down to Tampa to take on USF, 6 o'clock kickoff. UAPB is at Central Arkansas, 6 o'clock kickoff. Grambling at Houston, 6 o'clock kickoff. Southern hosts McNeese in a big Louisiana FCS matchup. Must win for the Jags, 6 o'clock kickoff. Alcorn is at South Alabama, 7 p.m. kickoff. Jackson State is at ULM, also a 7 o'clock kickoff. So a pretty solid SWAC schedule next week. We do have one SWAC game on the schedule, and it's a big one. Another East Division matchup. So we'll see, and we'll come back on Wednesday and preview all of these games. Next week, on next Thursday, September 26th, we will have a live SWAC Smoke episode. So check that out. And then next Sunday, we'll recap these games. So a full edition of SWAC Talk coming at you next week. So I'm your boy, C. Wells, your SWAC tour guide, and I'm signing out, man. Y'all enjoy the rest of your day.